Are our resolutions that we're going to become more holy, more Christ-like, to pray more, to encourage more, to study more, all those sorts of things? This year, who are we going to serve? Who are we going to be a servant of? Of God or of ourselves? So I certainly hope those thoughts are beneficial as we get into our study. If you would, turn over to 1 Kings 16. That's where we're going to be looking at for a majority of our study this morning. 1 Kings chapter 16. And this chapter begins with, revolving around the household of Baasha and his dynasty, Baasha and Elah. And the latter part of the chapter deals with the Omri dynasty, Omri being the father of Ahab. And these are actually two of the longest dynasties, longest reigning households of Israel's history in the divided kingdom, at least up to this point. And wedged right in between them is actually the shortest reigning king, King Zimri. And that's who we're actually going to examine this morning. We're going to look at his story and hopefully glean from his few passages about him and gain some reminders and some encouragement and motivation, hopefully, from this study. So if you're not there already, be in 1 Kings 16, and we'll begin in verse 8. 1 Kings 16, verse 8, and it reads, "In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel at Tirzah and reigned 2 years. His servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him. Now he was at Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household at Tirzah. Then Zimri went in and struck him and put him to death in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and became king in his place. It came about when he became king, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave a single male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha through Jehu the prophet." If I were to summarize these verses just with one word, I would just use the word betrayal. We see here that Zimri is described as a servant. He's commander of half of the chariots of the king, and yet he conspires against his master. He does so because he's not content with his status, but in fact he desired more. He coveted the kingship. He wanted to be his own master. He possessed envy. He placed himself and his interests above that of others, particularly in this instance the king and of God as well. And he ended up killing the king. Now I would suggest to you that this betrayal, this killing, is actually noteworthy. Later on in 2 Kings 9, Jehu has come to end the household of Ahab. And Jezebel, one of the most evil women and just evil people in general described in the Bible, recalls this act of betrayal. She recalls this evil act of Zimri by calling Jehu a Zimri. She uses his name as a synonym for betrayal, for being evil. So I would certainly think it's significant that such an evil individual like Jezebel, if she's recognizing Zimri's evil act as evil, then that's certainly something I would suggest. But we'll come back to the betrayal part. Let's move on in the story to verse 15 now. Verse Kings 16, verse 15. It says, "In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days at Tirzah. Now the people were camped against Gibbethon, which belongs to the Philistines. The people who were camped heard it said, 'Zimri has conspired and has also struck down the king.' Therefore all Israel made Omri the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon and besieged Tirzah. When Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house over him with fire and died. Because of his sins, which he sinned, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did, making Israel sin." And to just summarize these verses, I would use the word brevity. Zimri becomes king. His plan actually worked. He got exactly what he wanted, except it didn't last like he thought it would. It didn't last like he would have expected. But the end came soon. We see his reign lasted 7 days. And then he was overtaken. He was overwhelmed by the consequences, by the punishment that followed his betrayal, that followed his sin. And his life ended in a fiery death. So his time was brief. And just to summarize his reign overall, it's bad. Verse 19 emphasizes that he had many sins. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He was walking in the way of Jeroboam. And he was able to make Israel sin just in his short reign of a week. So Zimri is seen as selfish. He's seen as sinful. He's seen as prideful. He wasn't content. He desired more, as we've seen. He coveted the kingship. And he put himself first in his life, above everybody else, all his other countrymen, above his king, and again, above God. He saw the opportunity to gain a higher position, and he took it. And he's not unique in this aspect or in this lust for power. If you think about Genesis 3 and the language there, Adam and Eve, they saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise. And they not only wanted to be like God, but they put themselves in front of God, in place of God, because they disobeyed his commands. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to be their own king. But that's not just Zimri. That's not just Adam and Eve, but that's also me. That's also you. That's us. Whenever we sin, we were made in the image of God to be his servants, to be his possession, to be his people, to bear his image. But we weren't content with that. But we desired more like Zimri. We were selfish like Zimri. We were prideful like him. We wanted to be our own master. We wanted to be our own king. And so when we sin and when we sinned, we placed our own interests in front of God's will, in front of his kingdom. We placed ourselves in front of Jesus. We made ourselves our own king, just as Zimri did. So we betrayed God, our king, for our own pleasure, our own desire. And then we killed him because of our sin, for our own selfish pleasures, just like Zimri did. And just like we've betrayed like Zimri did, our time is also brief like him. And one aspect of that is the pleasure from sin is brief. As we mentioned, Zimri got exactly what he wanted, except it wasn't all that he thought it would entail. It wasn't what he was expecting exactly. He died after a week on the throne. I certainly think that he would have thought he would have had longer than just 7 days on the throne. So was it really worth it for him to betray his king just to die a week later? If you think about another betrayer, Judas, he quickly saw too that it wasn't worth it to betray his king. He didn't receive pleasure from his betrayal. He received the money, but he went to go return it. He saw that he was wrong. He was distraught with the outcome. So how is it with us? Do we recognize the brief pleasure of sin and the eternal consequences that it holds? Consider Matthew 16:26. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So the question is, what would you give in exchange for your soul? And thinking about the new year and the resolutions and all that, what are we doing this year? Are we becoming more like Christ, or just trying to serve ourselves? What are we going to give in exchange for our soul this year? What are we going to be using our time for? And those sorts of things. So not only is the pleasure from sin brief, but our time in general is brief as well. James 4:14 says, we're like vapors, that we appear for a little while and then we vanish. As we saw earlier, Zimri probably thought he had a lot longer than just a week on the throne. Once again, consider the new year and all the resolutions being made and the outlook on life. Many people think that these resolutions are going to last the whole year into the next year, that all these things, they have a long life ahead of them. Many people all the time think that we're going to live long lives, and we very well might, but we don't know that. We don't know that for sure. I would suggest that we need to have more urgency in our lives, more alertness about our actions, and those sorts of things. Because once again, Zimri didn't know when his time was up, and it came quickly. And he was overwhelmed. He was overtaken by it. But we can be different. We can be prepared. So we've seen how we've betrayed like Zimri. And our time is brief like him. And I would suggest to an extent our paths are similar as well. And what I mean by that is Zimri's sin and his wickedness and his evil led directly to his downfall. Led directly to his destruction, which ended in a fiery death. Similar to that, our sins and our wickedness and our evil are also leading directly to our downfall and destruction, which will end in a fiery death as well, except that's where Zimri's story ended. And we have a much different king than Zimri had. We have a much different opportunity than he had, and we can have a much different ending to our story than he did. If you consider the two kings, the king Zimri was serving, King Elah, and the king that we should be serving, King Jesus, there are a couple similarities, such as just simply there were two kings, they were conspired against, and they were both killed, and their deaths fulfilled prophecy. That's about the end of the similarities. Consider the differences. King Elah was weak. King Elah was sinful. King Elah was selfish. And King Elah held no control over death. Now, to the contrary, Jesus was powerful. He was sinless. He was ultimately selfless, and he held control over death. Think about the power aspect. Jesus allowed himself to be killed, to be conspired against, where Elah had no control in the matter. He had no say in the matter and probably would not have wanted it to happen if he knew about it. Think about sinless and sinful. Jesus was ultimately sinless and was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, the Lamb, where Elah was said to be very sinful. He was selfish and he was just a bad king overall. Think about the idea of selflessness and selfishness. Look back at verse 9, 1 Kings 16. It says, his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him. Now he, speaking about Elah, was at Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household at Tirzah. So Elah was drunk, and I would associate this action, this attitude, with selfishness. And he's just getting himself drunk before he was killed. When you think about Jesus before his death, he's the ultimate portrayal of selflessness. He's in the garden before his death, agonizing over what's about to come, and yet praying to the Lord. In Mark 14:36, he says, yet not what I will, but what you will. Right before his death, he still has the Father and his will and his kingdom and his purpose on his mind, not his own interests, his human interests. So Elah is getting drunk and being selfish before his death, but Jesus is selfless and drinking the cup of God's wrath before his death. And think about the idea of control. Elah had no power after he died. Once he died, he was done. Yet Jesus, when he died, he would raise from the dead and would conquer death. And he displayed the ultimate kingship that he owned, the true power he held, the true control he possessed. And that's the king that we should be serving, that I hope we are serving. And through all that we've done, all the mistakes we've made, all the mess ups we've made, all the times we turned our back, he's still there waiting, willing to forgive, willing to reconcile, willing to provide life to his betraying slayers. And although, as we've examined, that we've certainly been like Zimri, we don't have to continue to be like him. As we saw at his death, Zimri was overwhelmed. He was overtaken. His punishments, his consequences, they caught up with him. But that doesn't have to be us. Consider the phrase, live like Zimri, or living like Zimri. I'm not saying that go live like Zimri in the sinful sense, but live like Zimri in the time sense. And what I mean by that is, think about if you knew you only had a week to live, would you not try to be more holy? Try to be more like God. Try to pray more, study more, encourage a little bit more, just serve a little bit more in that last week. Or maybe you step it up to just, you live like it's your last day. Would you not be trying to do everything you could that day to serve God, to do His will, to make more disciples, do all those things? But we don't know. We don't have that week time. We don't have that day time. We don't know when our end is up. We just must always live prepared. Because, like Zimri, we don't know when our time is up. If you would, turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm sure this is a familiar passage to many of you. It just emphasizes the urgency that we should hold with judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, it says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, you are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." Instead of being overwhelmed, this passage again just emphasizes that we can be prepared. We can be ready for the end. We can be ready for judgment. Also consider Luke 21:34. It reads, "Be on guard so your hearts will not be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap." Suddenly like a trap. Is that not what happened to Zimri? That the end came for him very quickly, just suddenly. But again, that doesn't have to be us. At his death, Zimri was done. But Jesus, our King, is not Elah. He's not Zimri. And He's provided us another chance of life. He loves us and wants us to dwell with Him. Even though we've been sinful, even though we turned our back on Him, He still provided us with that chance. So how are we going to utilize that opportunity? Are we just going to waste it? Or are we going to live our lives in response as a sacrifice because of such love demonstrated, such mercy given, such sacrifice seen in Jesus' life? Just remember that every time we sin, we in a way just place Jesus right back up on the cross. We just push His nails in deeper to His hands. Consider the hymn, "I'm the One." Says, "I was not on the hillside when He gave His life that day. I did not nail His precious hands or take His robe away. I could not do a single thing to hurt God's only Son. But every time I sin on earth, I feel that I'm the One. I'm the One who shouted, 'Crucify.' I'm the One who made that cross so high. I'm the One who stood and watched Him die. What have I done? I'm the One." So I certainly hope that from this and from other things you'll hear today, that we'll live our lives in service and dedication for God, not just serving ourselves. But let our first resolution of the year be to be more Christ-like, to be more holy, more godly. Let us imitate the true King Jesus. And we got to start now if we haven't already, because we're not promised tomorrow. So also just consider, if the day of the Lord came today, would you be overwhelmed by it, or would you be prepared for it? If your answer to that question is, "I'm not sure," or "No, I wouldn't be prepared," we certainly invite you to change that answer today. Christ died for our sins so that we could have the hope of salvation, the hope of eternal life. We certainly don't want to waste that. So if you have a need to come into Christ at this time, or have a need to come back into Christ, please make that known. Don't wait. Please make that known as we stand and as we sing.